Welcome to a discussion of Ayn Rand's radical fundamental principles of freedom, objectivist perspective on rational self-interest, laissez-faire capitalism, and individual rights. Yaron Brook, Executive Director of the Ayn Rand Institute, invites you to the conversation. The Yaron Brook Show starts now on AM 560, The Answer.
I have to tell you guys, I don't know anything more disgusting, more evil, more low, more primitive than racism. Than treating people based on something as insignificant, as stupid, as ridiculous, as meaningless as the color of their skin, their ethnic origin, or any such thing. Ayn Rand called racism the lowest, most crudely primitive form of collectivism. And collectivism, for her, was the most political of all political ideologies. So what is collectivism? What is collectivism? And then we'll get to racism. And, of course, all this in the context of the horrific shooting in Charleston, where this young man, shot up a church in Charleston, South Carolina, killing nine people in cold blood, killing them. For the reason, for the only reason, that they were black. And he is a self-identified white supremacist, a self-identified collectivist, a self-identified racist. So what is collectivism? Let's start with collectivism, because racism is a form of collectivism. As Ayn Rand described it, the lowest, most primitive, the crudest form of collectivism. What is collectivism? Collectivism is the idea that one gets one's identity, one gets one's moral meaning from the group one belongs to. Indeed, that everything in life should be judged based on the group, your group, somebody else's group, other people's group, that you judge, evaluate people, not based on their individual characteristics, not based on what they are as individuals, as human beings, but based on their belonging to a particular group. Racism is the idea that that group is based on race. Indeed, collectivism believes that your purpose in life is to serve that group, that you as an individual have no meaning, have no purpose, have no significance outside of your duty, your obligation, and your service to the group, to the collective. And there are all kinds of forms of collective, of collectivism, all kinds of collectives, collectives based on race, collective based on religion, collectives based on ethnic origins, collective based on socioeconomic status, right? Marxism is a form of collectivism where the ideal is to be a blue-collar worker, and everybody else is supposed to sacrifice for the sake of the proletariat. And you identify based on your socioeconomic status in life, or whether you're middle class, or whether you're rich, or whether you're poor. Indeed, the whole inequality debate that we're experiencing right now, the whole characterization of people into rich, poor, middle class is a form of collectivism. But racism is clearly the crudest of them, the most primitive of them, the most, you know, it depends on primitive perception, you know, on how people look, on what their genetic origin is. It is truly disgusting. That is, you treat people based on what race they are, what color skin they have, what their ethnic origin is. So collectivism is about the sacrifice of the individual to the group. In racism, the idea is to sacrifice the individual to the race. This is why, for example, people ask, you know, why would somebody like Roof do this? You know, he's clearly ending his life. He's clearly going to spend the rest of his life in prison, or hopefully he'll get the death penalty in South Carolina. I think South Carolina has the death penalty. And be executed. So he's dying. What's he dying for? Right? Is it just motivated by hatred? Certainly, that's a big part of it. The hatred of that he hate hated blacks and he was willing to kill them, even if it cost him his own life. But it's more than that. It's that his identity as a white person, he gains all of his identity from being white. And therefore, he's willing to sacrifice himself for the group. He's willing to sacrifice himself for the sake of whiteness. Indeed, if you look at the manifesto, and we're only just starting to get pieces of the manifesto talks about the fact that he felt like all these white people weren't doing what was necessary, and he was going to, you know, act in the name of whiteness or whatever, and hopefully his actions, he was willing to sacrifice himself in order to create a race war. So it's not just that he went after blacks for being blacks, killed them, not because of who they were as individuals, not because of any particular trait they had, no, but because they were black, because he negated their humanity because they were black. But he did it in the name of his own collectivistic, racist, racial identity of being white. And the essence of all of this is kind of this notion that your identity is driven by your racial group, by who you belong to racially, by your genes. This is a deterministic worldview. Deterministic means that it denies one's own free will. It denies one's own ability to shape one's own character, to make of oneself. No, it doesn't matter. If you're white, you're going to have certain characteristics because your genes are going to dictate those characteristics, because your ethnic background are going to dictate those characteristics. It rejects the notion that you can determine yourself, that you can, that you're not just a pure product of genes. So it rejects the whole notion of free will, of reason, of one's ability to shape one's own character, create of oneself what one wants, the moral responsibility being your own, that your own character is your own moral responsibility. No, no, no. This is all the fault of your genetic heritage. And of course, you judge other people not based on their moral character, not based on their decisions, not based on what they did with their own lives, because they're not responsible for that. It's all their genes. You judge them based on their race, based on something irrelevant, insignificant, irrational like that. It's just so foreign, so strange to think in these terms for anybody who's even semi-rational, for anybody who has any sense of self-esteem, who cares about their own life. How can you think this way? Don't we shape our own character? Don't you want to be judged based on who you are as an individual, not on based on the accident of birth of whatever racial group you happen to be part of, or whatever ethnic group you happen to be part of? Isn't it your moral character? Isn't it who you are as an individual that matters? And isn't who you are as an individual, aren't you responsible for that? Didn't you shape that? Racism negates all that. Racism says, no, it doesn't matter what you as an individual care about. It's what matters, what's most important, what's most, you know, significant is the color of your skin. And unfortunately, tragically, really, racism is still alive and well in America. And you see this with, I think, certainly you see this with this massacre in Charleston, South Carolina, but you see it in more subtle ways. You see it in the fact that the Confederate flag is still flying up there. And, you know, I don't care what people say. Oh, it's Southern pride. Southern pride in what exactly? In what collective achievement is it that you are proud of? It's ultimately that flag represents slavery. That flag represents racism. If the South really wants to get beyond racism, if the South really wants to get beyond its history, if the South really wants to embrace colorblindness, we'll get to colorblindness in a minute, If the South wants to embrace individualism and measuring people based on their individual characteristics, based on their own moral worth, not based on their race, based on the color of their skin, then the South has to acknowledge the sins of its history. It has to acknowledge the sins of its past. It has to acknowledge the racism that was institutionalized in much of the South, really up through the 60s, through the Civil Rights Movement. And as long as that Confederate flag is flying on top of government buildings, representative of state government, then the citizens of the South and citizens who protect that have not acknowledged their sins and are not really ready to put racism behind them. We'll be right back in a few minutes to continue talking about this important issue.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com Traffic Center.
I'm Nikki and Nichelle taking a look at traffic. Inbound Edens is heavy at Pratt. It's 25 to Montrose from Lake Cook on the flip. You're looking at a 22-minute trip. Also, the exit ramp is blocked at Wilson due to a crash. It's stop and go inbound on the Kennedy with a 38-minute trip to downtown from O'Hare and 32 heading outbound. Inbound Ike is heavy at North Avenue. Then you'll see delays in pockets all the way to the circle. 53 to the post from Thorndale, 45 on the opposite side. Inbound Stevenson slows at Cicero. It's 36 to Lakeshore Drive from 355 and 40 heading outbound. And inbound on the Ryan, that bunches up at Cermak, 17 to downtown from 95th and 17 on the opposite side. It's 72 degrees and clear. Today's high is 82. Tonight we'll reach a low of 70 and rainy. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
Brian Williams breaks his silence. He made his first comment since being suspended.
Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson.
He's just some white dude reading a teleprompter.
You manufactured stories where you turned out to be the hero.
I wanted him to be contrite. I wanted him to be apologetic.
I want to see him beaten about the head and neck area. He is a self-reverential gas bag.
Chicago's Morning Answer. Weekday mornings starting at 5 on AM 560. The Answer.
Ayn Rand was a radical thinker whose philosophical novels challenged students to reconsider their views on fundamental issues. The Fountainhead, Atlas Shrugged, and Anthem. These works have become classics of American literature that never fail to engage young people and stimulate intense classroom discussion. By offering these works for free to teachers, the Ayn Rand Institute hopes to encourage greater awareness and understanding of Rand's stimulating perspective. If you're a teacher who would like Ayn Rand's books in your classroom, visit AynRand.org. This is at no cost to you. Go to AynRand.org today.
Somewhere in America, at just this moment as you sit listening to this radio show, there's a young person waiting to discover Ayn Rand's novels, waiting to have his or her life changed by the beauty of Ayn Rand's art and the logic of her ideas. Through ARI's Free Books to Teachers program, we have delivered more than 3 million copies of Ayn Rand's books to schools in every state. You can help us reach young minds today. Make your tax-deductible contribution now at AynRand.org/support.
How would you like to make some serious cash investing in quick flip real estate? Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington, an original shark on the hit TV show Shark Tank. Over the last few years, I've been working with the NV Real Estate Academy, training investors how to diversify their investment portfolios by using the Fortunes in Flipping system to buy and sell properties for quick profits and long-term financial gains. Now it's your turn to get a free inside look at this proven real estate flipping system. For a limited time, anyone that calls will get a free Fortunes in Flipping kit and access to a free training course that will show you how easy it is to get it, get out, and get paid flipping houses everywhere in the world.
Call 1-800-240-9731 now to get your free Fortunes in Flipping kit. Call 800-240-9731 in the next 20 minutes, and you'll also get two free tickets to a live training coming to the Chicago area. Call 800-240-9731. That's 800-240-9731. And get your free kit now.
Intrigued, inspired, and possibly even angered. Welcome back to the Yaron Brook Show on AM 560. The Answer.
Hey, Chicago, thank you for listening. And you can call in, and I encourage you to. We're talking about racism today. We're going to talk about racism for the entire show today. And you can call in, talk about the shooting in Charleston, to talk about any other racist issues all the different variety of racism and collectivism. And what are the solutions? What? How do we get out of this? How do we get away from this issue of racism? How do we turn this country around? Because I think racism is on the increase in this country. And you can call in 312-642-5600, 312-642-5600. This is the Aaron Brooks Show on AM 560, The Answer. And we do have a call. We have a call from Skyla. And Skyla, you're on with the you're on Brooks Show. What's up?
Good afternoon, Dr. Brooks. I just had a quick question.
Skyla, you there?
Hello?
Hello, Skyla.
Hello, hello. Hello?
Can't hear Skyla, okay. Doug, hello? Anything we can do to get the point where I can hear him?
Hello? Hello, hello. Hello?
Yeah, not sure either.
Hello?
Let's see.
Hello?
Skyla, you on?
Yeah, hello?
All right, give one more shot. Let me try this. Skyla, can you hear me?
Good afternoon.
All right, we don't have Skyla on.
Good afternoon.
Not sure what's happening. So if Skyla, you might want to try to call back in and see if we can get you on. For some reason, it's not working. All right, we were talking about racism and collectivism, and you know, the fact that racism is such a low evil phenomena. I mean, it's even for collectivism, it is a particular bad form because it's a particular evil form. Because it focuses on such a non-essential, such a insignificant thing. And what's really motivating the racist? I mean, think about it. What does it mean to somebody to say with a little bit of false pride in their voice, I'm white, or I'm black, or I'm green, or I'm blue? What does it even mean for somebody to say that? Why would they get that, you know, that sense of, where are they getting that sense of again, pride? It's false pride, but they're getting a sense of pride from it. It's they're getting satisfaction from being associated somehow, genetically, color of skin-wise, with other people who deserve pride, who've achieved something, who've made something of their own life. So because their life, I believe, racist life, is insignificant, it's meaningless, it has no meaning, they have no self-esteem, they have no anything to be proud of. They seek to get self-esteem. They seem to get unearned self-esteem, unearned pride from association from other people who might have been, you know, very productive or geniuses or incredible contributors to mankind. But not because they don't get the pride because they have contributed anything, because they produced, because they made anything, because they've done anything of value. No, everything is the leeching off of the achievements of other people. And they're leeching off of the achievement of other people that they have no relationship to. And I you know, this is the same thing of people who create these I don't know, they go to Ancestry.com and they get all excited because they found an ancestor who was the founding fathers. Well, are you living up to the standard of a founding father? What relevance does it have in any regard to you that some ancestor of yours was a great person? It's irrelevant to you. I mean, it's kind of interesting, but it can't give you self-esteem. It can't give you pride because it's not an achievement. You didn't choose to have an ancestor who was a founding father. You didn't choose to have an ancestor who was a genius. And certainly, you didn't choose to be of the same race as somebody who's a great person. So it's meaningless. And it's a lazy form of trying to gain self-esteem by association with other people who've earned it. And it's really, again, a despicable trait. I mean, I've got a great quote from Ayn Rand. And Ayn Rand has a great, great, great essay on this. So you got to read this essay. It's in the book, The Virtue of Selfishness. And we'll get to the connection between racism and lack of selfishness. The connection between racism and lack of selfishness in a minute. But this is from an essay called Racism and the Virtue of Selfishness, which I encourage you to read. And she has a sentence here. It says, a genius is a genius, regardless of the number of morons who belong to the same race. And a moron is a moron, regardless of the number of geniuses who share his racial origin. So you're either a genius or a moron. You're either a good person or a bad person. You're either productive or not productive. Has nothing to do with your race. You don't get credit for the fact that somebody else who has, by chance, has the same racial characteristics as you do and who's better than you are, who's achieved something with his life. Go out there, achieve something. Go out there and make something of yourself. And if you really look at Roof, at the shooter in South Carolina, you see a pathetic young person who has no real job, has no real individual identity, who has nothing to be proud of in his own life, and gets caught up in racial identity and gains that self-esteem from that racial identity. And you can see he's got the pictures on the web of him wearing shirts and flags of Rhodesia. What does he know about Rhodesia? No, Rhodesia was a white supremacist, racist state north of South Africa, who unfortunately has become a black supremacist, racist state in Africa, where whites are discriminated against. One form of racism replaced by another form of racism doesn't justify the first form of racism. And a flag of apartheid South Africa. I mean, apartheid South Africa was disgusting, was offensive. I visited South Africa when it was under apartheid, and it was horrific. The idea of blacks only beaches and whites only beaches, I mean, it was truly repulsive. Blacks only bathrooms, white only bathrooms. I mean, and for a young person to wear a t-shirt like that or to celebrate that or to, you know, it's just horrific and means that he had nothing in his own life. He had no identity as an individual, so he latched on to some, you know, racial group, racial identity. All right, we're going to try to hook up Skyla again. Hi, Skyla, you're on the Iran Book Show. Let's see. Skyla, are you there? Ooh, now I have oops. Hi, Skyla, are you there?
Good afternoon.
Oh, we got you. All right. Excellent.
Absolutely. Good to go.
Good. Well, we've got like 2 minutes, so you got to be quick, or otherwise we'll keep going after the break. Go ahead.
Yeah, really quick. Do you think that the evils of racism are only exacerbated when black leaders and even the victims' families call for forgiveness of the shooter?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I am anti-forgiveness. I am anti-forgiveness. In that sense, I am against the whole notion, and this is very much a Christian notion, of turning the other cheek, of forgiveness. I mean, it's ridiculous. This guy is a murderer. He murdered those people's kids. He murdered the leaders of that community. Murder is unforgivable. That's why I'm for the death penalty, when there's absolutely no question about the guilt of somebody. When it's beyond a reasonable doubt, right? Then,
yes.
Then I'm all for a death penalty. So the idea of forgiveness is so sick. I mean, there's nothing to forgive. You can't forgive this, right? There's nothing you can do to repent. There's no repentance for taking a life. Taking a life is irreversible. It's unforgivable. And one should declare him the true evil that he is, driven by an evil ideology. You know, I just read a story where the family is saying he was captured by the evil of the internet. Yeah, maybe he learned the ideology on the internet, but he chose this ideology. He is fully responsible for his choices. By forgiving him, we whitewash his responsibility for it. We whitewash the evil of the crime. And yes, we embolden more crimes like this. It is a horrific idea, the whole idea of forgiveness. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Iran Book Show. Today, we're talking about racism, the evil of
racism.
Hey, Dave, did you hear about that story?
What story? Was it on Facebook?
No. Come on, everybody's talking about it. I can't believe you don't know what I'm talking about.
Was it on TV? Twitter? Where did you hear about it?
It was on AM 560, The Answer. I heard it on the radio.
Hear about it before everyone else.
AM radio.
Hear about it on AM 560, The Answer.
Fox News Radio, I'm Rachel Sutherland. People have been gathering outside Mother Emanuel AME Church in Charleston to remember nine people who died there while suspected mass murder. Dylan Roof sits in jail.
In a video conference hearing with a bond court judge Friday, Roof heard that he would have no chance to be released from his cell while awaiting trial for the shooting spree inside Mother Emanuel AME Church, in which he admits to killing nine people.
Fox News Radio's Evan Brown. In New Orleans, a police officer was shot and killed this morning, and now police are searching for Travis Boyes, who Police Chief Michael Harrison says slipped out of his handcuffs and got a hold of a gun.
And justice will be served, and he will pay for what he did in killing our brother.
Officer Darrell Holloway died at the hospital, and presidential candidates are weighing in on gun control. Democrat Hillary Clinton calling for common sense gun reform. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com Traffic Center.
I'm Nakia Nichelle taking a look at traffic. It's a half an hour inbound on the Edens is congested at Niles Center. The outbound side's at 22 minutes. The Kennedy has delays starting at the O'Hare extension. It's 39 to downtown from O'Hare and 35 heading outbound. It jams up inbound on the Ike at North Avenue to the Tri-State. Also delays pickup at Wolf to First, then at Ogden to the Circle. 48 to the Post from Thorndale. 38 heading outbound. Inbound Stevenson slow at Central. It's a 38-minute trip to Lakeshore Drive from 355 and 47 heading outbound. It does jam up inbound on the Ryan at 31st. It will cost you 20 minutes to downtown from 95th and 19 heading on the outbound side. It's 72 degrees and clear. Today's high is 82. Tonight's low is 70 and rainy. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You didn't build that. You don't pay your fair share. Who do you think you are? Ayn Rand knew exactly who you are. Rational, productive, independent. You work hard and use your own judgment. You choose your career path, your lifestyle, your values. You're living the American dream. And now you see that there are people who want to take away what you've created and who will call their lust to loot a virtue. People who think the needs of others is a claim on your money, your work, your life. Well, how can you fight back? That's what they do at the Ayn Rand Institute. They look closely at public policy beyond sound bites and election cycles, at the fundamental moral ideas that frame crucial debates. They focus on reframing the issues in line with reason, egoism, and individual rights to life, liberty, property, and the pursuit of happiness. Your life, liberty, property, and the pursuit of your happiness. Stand up with them to fight against the sacrifice of your values by making a contribution today at AynRand.org/support. They'll use your money to defend your values.
The Ayn Rand Institute campus is an exciting online destination offering free e-courses on Ayn Rand and her revolutionary philosophy of objectivism. Whether you recently picked up your first Rand book or have been reading her novels and nonfiction for years, ARI Campus has something for you. On campus, you'll discover a variety of multimedia courses covering Rand's literary classics, specific aspects of thought, and how to apply her ideas to your life. Get started today at campus.aynrand.org. See you on campus.
For 30 years, the Ayn Rand Institute has been on the front lines of the culture wars, introducing millions of students to Ayn Rand's books and ideas, educating young intellectuals who now teach at universities around the world, and speaking out in defense of free speech, free markets, free minds. You can join their battle for reason, individualism, and capitalism here in Chicago and around the nation by making your contribution today at AynRand.org/support. That's AynRand.org/SUPPORT.
Hi, this is Steve DeJohn with the DeJohn Advisory Team, and if you have an IRA, 401k, brokerage account, CDs, or any retirement money, please call 866-515-6669 to get your free Paycheck for Life quote. You will be amazed on how much money you can get annually for the rest of your life. Here's what we just did for a 54-year-old client who had a $500,000 401k rollover. He received over $66,000 in free bonus money added to his original $500,000 401k. In addition, at age 70, he will receive over $79,000 every year for as long as he is alive. Visit YourRetirementCheck.com or call 866-515-6669 to get your free DVD. This DVD has many other examples for you to look at. Call 866-515-6669. That's 866-515-6669 or visit YourRetirementCheck.com.
No traditional conservative view, nor the standard libertarian ones. Welcome back to the discussion of Ayn Rand's radical fundamental principles of freedom. This is the Yaron Brook Show on AM 560, The Answer.
We're talking about racism today, and if you want to call in, 312-642-5600, that's 312-642-5600. Always enjoy hearing from you, particularly if you disagree with me about something. That's always fun to get into a bit of a discussion and a bit of disagreement. Okay, we're talking about, the evil that is racism. And we talked a little bit just before the break. Skyla called in and asked about forgiveness. And I just want to say something about forgiveness. I don't believe in forgiveness. I think somebody has to, first of all, if a minor offense, somebody lies to you, then somebody has to earn the forgiveness. They have to repent. They have to act in a way as to earn that forgiveness. But when somebody commits such a horrific, evil crime like murder, when somebody is unrepentant about their own racism and about their willingness just to kill people, there is no forgiveness. There is no forgiveness. This person should, live in hell. And it's the kind of person, again, where it's unequivocal, undeniable that he has committed the crime, then the death penalty is the only appropriate way. And that's not, I don't know what forgiveness means in that sense, other than kind of a Christian altruism, which is a self-deprecation, which means you don't take your own life seriously. You don't take your own values seriously. I mean, how can you take the value of your child seriously when if somebody murders them, you forgive the murderer? You obviously, it's self-denial. So, no, I'm very much against forgiveness. I think it's unjust to forgive. I believe in justice. When somebody commits evil, they should be judged as evil. And evil is unforgivable. Again, unless it's a minor issue and they've repented and they've acted in a way as to compensate the victims and to undo the damage that they have done. But that's impossible. That is impossible in the case of murder. All right, so racism, as we discussed, is really this quest for unearned. It's a quest for self-esteem. It's a quest to gain something that you don't have. And usually racism is practiced by pathetic people, by people who haven't earned anything, who haven't created anything, and who are just seeking self-esteem in a lazy, cheap, easy way, and without thinking, without engaging in the one thing that human beings have to engage in order to achieve anything in life, in order to be successful in life, in order to prosper in life, which is to engage in reason, engage their mind, engage in thinking. Racism is the negation of thought. It's a negation of reason. It's achievement by attribution from somebody else, attribution based on something insignificant such as race. And you see this in all collectivists, but again, this really is the lowest of all form of race. And unfortunately, I believe racism is on the increase in the United States. And let me say that because I think that there is quite a bit of racism in our culture, in all directions, white racism against blacks, blacks racism against whites. But I think it's all over the place. I think racism is everywhere around us, unfortunately. I'm also often hesitant to jump up and defend cops who engaged in shootings and things like that. Because I think some of it, unfortunately, disastrously, tragically, is motivated by race. I'm not saying it's always the case, and certainly it's not always the case. But, you know, one needs to really know the facts before one jumps up and instinctually defends the police every single time. I do think there's racism in America, and it cuts across everybody. And we'll get to some of its more subtle applications. But I want to say something about this racism and how it's kind of institutionalized. I have to tell you a story about when my first child was born. He was born in Austin, Texas, in a hospital in Austin, Texas. And, you know, a day after my son is born, the nurse comes in and she says, you know, we have to fill out this information for the birth certificate for your son. And she goes through the list of questions. What's your son's name, you know, the family name and your address and all this. And then she goes, what is the race of your son? And I was just horrified. I was blown away. And I looked at her and I say, what business is it of yours? And she said, I don't care, but I have to fill it out. You can't get a birth certificate in America. And then she filled out the race. And I said, what is this, Nazi Germany? We're being categorized by race in our birth certificates? How dare you? And I basically said, you decide, right? And I went through kind of the family tree. And I can't remember I have no idea what's written in my son's birth certificate, but it's some combination of races, because we come from all kinds of places in the world. What relevance is it? Why does the state care? Why does anybody care what race I am, or my child is, or my wife is, or any of that? None of their business. None of their business. This perpetuates racism. We'll be right back.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com traffic center.
I'm Nikki and Michelle taking a look at traffic. There's a 13-minute delay inbound on the Edens as heavy at Dempster, 32 to Montrose from Lake Cook, 24 on the opposite side. Inbound Kennedy's 41 to downtown from O'Hare from Montrose, 21 on the reverse, 15 to Montrose to O'Hare, 33 Express are at 12. It jams up inbound on the Ike at North Avenue to the Tri-State. Also, delays continue all the way in pockets to the Circle. It's 50 to the Post from Thorndale, 37 heading outbound. It's touch and go inbound on the Stevenson at Central to Kedzie. 38 to Lakeshore Drive from 355. Heading outbound's really heavy. Starting at the Ryan, it will take you 50 minutes to 355 from Lakeshore Drive. It's 72 degrees and clear. Tonight's low is 70 and rainy. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
When The Fountainhead was first published more than 70 years ago, Ayn Rand's bold literary vision and groundbreaking philosophy of individualism captured the world's attention. Initially rejected by 12 publishers as too intellectual, the novel became an instant classic and continues to provoke heated debates. What motivates a creative thinker? Is it a selfless desire to benefit mankind, a hunger for fame, fortune, and accolades, the need to prove superiority, or is it a self-sufficient drive to pursue a creative vision independent of others' needs or opinions? Ayn Rand addresses these questions through her portrayal of Howard Roark, an innovative architect who, as she puts, struggles for the integrity of his creative work against every form of social opposition. It's also the story of his love affair with a woman who seeks to defeat him. The Fountainhead is as relevant today as it was when Rand first penned it. The novel was also a personal landmark for Rand. In Howard Roark, she presented for the first time the uniquely Ayn Rand hero, man as he could be and ought to be. Order your copy today at Amazon.com.
Mike Rowe here. Today I'm with Frank, one of the heating and cooling pros at 1 Hour. Frank's got his head up a vent right now. How's it going up there?
I'm gonna break up, Mike.
Frank knows what he's talking about. He's been with 1 Hour for how long, Frank?
14 years.
That's a long time. Over that time, he's worked on tons of different equipment, taken countless hours of training, and that makes Frank the man.
No, Mark Rowe's the man.
I'm sorry, Frank. Say again.
Mike Rowe's the man.
I heard him the first time. For any cooling need, call 855-1-HOUR today. Say it again, Frank.
Mike Rowe's the man.
That's what I'm talking about. Each independent franchise is licensed in its respective state or county.
Secure Retirement Radio with Raj Shah, Chicago's safe money strategist.
People look at their portfolio, what can I be doing differently?
we can make some changes and plug in some other different strategies that may be more appropriate based upon your age and time horizon till retirement.
Join Raj Shah for Secure Retirement Radio, strategies for building and protecting your money. Sundays at 7 a.m. here on AM 560, The Answer.
Intrigued, inspired, and possibly even angered. Welcome back to the Yaron Brooks Show on AM 560, The Answer.
So let's be clear. I consider any form of classification based on race to be racist, and therefore evil and wrong, should be denied, rejected, excluded. Whether it's on your birth certificate, why is the government interested in your race? What relevance did that have to anything? Or in the census? You notice in the census they want to know your race? I always leave that blank, and then they come knocking on my door, and then I refuse to do it. I tell them I will not give you my race. This is not Nazi Germany. We do not, in America, land of the free, the land of individualism, the land of individual rights, we do not classify people based on race. I will not be a part of that. And whether it's in the variety of different programs out there where everything is classified based on racial characteristics or racial belonging or whatever, all of that is wrong. And in that sense, affirmative action is racist. Universities using race as a criteria for admittance is racism. No matter who they're favoring and who they're rejecting, it is racism. It's racism whenever one uses race in order to make a decision about anything, certainly about any given individual. So what's the antidote to racism? What's the opposite? What's the right approach to life? Well, the antidote to racism is individualism. It's individualism. It's treating people based on their own individual character, based on their own individual moral character, or their own individual productivity, or their own individual ability. It's treating people as individuals and treating oneself, most importantly, as an individual. Pursuing the values that are necessary for you as an individual to thrive. And those have nothing to do with your race. Those have to do with the application of your mind, using your mind to solve the problems that you face, using your mind to become, you know, to become as productive as you can be, using your mind to develop as a human being. So the solution to racism is a society, are individuals who take themselves seriously as individuals and therefore treat other people as individuals. So when you hire people based on their ability as employees, not based on the color of their skin, their religion, where they come from, but what's important, their character. And when you decide whether you want to be friends with somebody or not, it's based on whether they are value to you, whether you like them as a human being, as an individual human being. So the way to treat people is as individuals. And if one takes one's own mind seriously, and if one takes one's own life seriously, then one practices the virtue of justice. Right? So individualism means a rejection of racism. Selfishness means the rejection of racism. It's unselfish. It's sacrificial. It's stupid and irrational and immoral to evaluate people based on their race. And therefore, selfishness, if you care about yourself, if you're trying to take care of yourself, we've talked about selfishness in a number of different shows. We've talked about rational long-term self-interest. To pursue your own happiness, to pursue your own life, to pursue your own achievement, to make the most of your own life, to live the best life that you can live, means to treat people as individuals, to treat them justly, to treat them based on what they deserve as an individual, not based on what group they belong to, not based on the color of their skin, not based on who their family is, on what their family is, based on the value of that particular individual. So being self-interested means to be just, means to treat people the way they deserve, means to treat people based on their ability. So the philosophy, the morality of self-interest, the morality of selfishness is the most anti-racist morality that exists. Indeed, it is the morality that rejects selfishness, the morality of selflessness that leaves people open to the arguments of racism. They are nothing as an individual, and therefore they try to attain everything from the group. It is collectivism and its altruistic foundation, altruistic in the sense of a morality that says self-sacrifice is virtue. You are nothing. It's your sacrifice to the group that matters. That's what leads us towards racism. Hoof was sacrificing himself for the sake of the group. I'm sure he views himself as selfless because the group is white people. You know, this is part of the mythology, part of the false view of what self-interest actually means. Because self-interest means taking care of oneself, doing what is necessary to pursue your life and your happiness, making the most of your life. And by definition, that excludes irrationality. By definition, that excludes racism, collectivism. So you want to be an individualist. You want to take your life seriously. You want to be self-interested. You want to take care of your own life. And therefore, you want to reject any form of irrational, any form of racism, any form of collectivism. You're listening to the Ron Brooks Show. We'll be right back.
Ayn Rand was a radical thinker whose philosophical novels challenged students to reconsider their views on fundamental issues. The Fountainhead, Atlas Shrugged, and Anthem. These works have become classics of American literature that never fail to engage young people and stimulate intense classroom discussion. By offering these works for free to teachers, the Ayn Rand Institute hopes to encourage greater awareness and understanding of Rand's stimulating perspective. If you're a teacher who would like Ayn Rand's books in your classroom, visit AynRand.org. This is at no cost to you. Go to AynRand.org today.
Somewhere in America, at just this moment as you sit listening to this radio show, there is a young person waiting to discover Ayn Rand's novels, waiting to have his or her life changed by the beauty of Ayn Rand's art and the logic of her ideas. Through ARI's Free Books to Teachers program, we have delivered more than 3 million copies of Ayn Rand's books to schools in every state. You can help us reach young minds today. Make your tax-deductible contribution now at AynRand.org/support.
How would you like to make up to $20,000 a month flipping houses with no risk? Hi, my name is Nick Vertucci, and over the last 2 years, my elite team of house flippers have flipped over 800 properties by using my three-step flipping system that guarantees quick profits. And this year, we plan to double it. I'm growing my team in your area, and I'm looking for help. I have more cash available than deals right now, so I need you. All interested candidates, call now and take an inside peek of my flipping system. I'll rush you out a free copy of my Fortunes in Flipping CD kit that will show you how easy it is to get in, get out, and get paid immediately flipping houses if you come join my team.
Call 1-800-795-5658 now to get your free Fortunes in Flipping kit. Call 800-795-5658 in the next 20 minutes, and Nick will also give you free tickets to a live workshop coming to the Chicago area. Call 800-795-5658. That's 800-795-5658 and get your free kit now.
Yaron Brook, executive director of the Ayn Rand Institute, speaks to audiences around the world, promoting Ayn Rand's ideas in talks and books. Now, he's on your radio, here on AM 560, The Answer.
All right, we're back on the Yaron Brook Show. Thank you all for listening. This is the last segment for this Saturday. I hope you listen again next Saturday. We'll be here every Saturday at 4 p.m. Chicago time. This week I'm broadcasting from sunny Southern California. All right. One last point I want to make on this issue, and this is a point I'll probably come back to maybe next week, maybe in a future time, and that is, what is the political system? What economic political system is most consistent with a society that rejects racism? Well, that is the system, the political system, that rewards individualism, that rewards self-interest, that rewards reason and rationality. So that is capitalism. Capitalism is anti-racist by its very nature. Capitalism is the system of individual rights. It's a system where individual rights are protected. It's a system where the state stays out of individual interactions. It leaves you alone to do whatever you want. You know, as long as you're not defrauding or violent towards your neighbor, it leaves you alone. But it's a system that rewards ability, no matter what color skin you have. It rewards productivity, no matter what ethnic group you belong to. There's no regulations, there's no controls, there's no government telling you who to hire, who to fire, when to hire them, when to fire them. Government doesn't control education. It doesn't tell us, shouldn't control education, tell us what to educate our kids, how to educate them, and inculcate them with some of these racist ideas, unfortunately. We'll talk about that in a future show. No, capitalism leaves us free. And if you're racist under capitalism, what happens to you? You fail. You don't do well. Nobody wants to have anything to do with you. You can't hire the best people. And ultimately, people won't want to work for you. You know, if you're racist and you want to hire only whites, but you're not hiring the best people. Your criteria is not the best, and therefore you will fail. Capitalism rewards reason and rationality. Capitalism penalizes all form of the irrational when capitalism is allowed to function. And in the era where capitalism was most allowed to function, in the 19th century, is by no accident, the era in which racism was on the decline, when slavery was eliminated from Western societies. And indeed, the freer the country, like Britain and the United States, the less the racism. And the more collectivistic a society, the more statist the society, the bigger the government, like Germany and Russia, the greater the racism during the 19th century. It's no accident that the capitalist North, the free North, defeated the collectivistic racist South and brought about the elimination of slavery in America. It's no accident that it's the British who are the most, among, you know, second only to America, the most capitalist society in the 19th century, are the ones that stamped out slavery from the Western world. For the first time in human history, men stood up against slavery and annihilated slavery in the name of what? In the name of freedom, in the name of capitalism, in the name of individualism. That is the antidote. It's capitalism, it's freedom, it's individualism. It's the foundation on which this country was founded and the foundation for any sane, productive, good future for this country. Join me next week again on the Iran Book Show. Thanks for listening.
This has been the Iran Book Show with your radical for capitalism host, Iran Book. Keep the discussion going. Log on to AynRand.org, your portal to the Ayn Rand Institute. Learn how to apply Ayn Rand's principles in your own life. And make sure you tune in next Saturday afternoon at 4 for another hour of dynamic Ayn Rand discussion. The Yaron Brooks Show on AM 560. The Answer.
With adoring fans, rabid critics, and very few in between, why does Atlas Shrugged evoke such impassioned responses? Because it grapples with the fundamental problems of human existence and it presents radically new answers. Atlas Shrugged challenges many conventional notions about good and evil, that sex is a low animal desire, that money is the root of evil, that